Well, come down to Lord Street in central Blackpool, which seems to be the new heaving metropolis of Blackpool's gay nightlife. And I'm joined by John Street at the Mardi Gras, which is a hotel halfway down Lord Street, but is vibrant with the nightlife as well. You've got a bar going and a disco and everything, John, haven't you?
Yeah, it's Mardi Gras. Well, it used to be Mardi Gras Hotel when I first bought the property, which was 7 years ago this week, funny enough. And then, of course, we've got a public bar licence, it turned into Mardi Gras Hotel and Bar. Then we bought next door, which used to be Rubin's, and we've opened that up, which we're sat in now, which is the lounge. So, yeah, now it's a bit of a mouthful. It's Mardi Gras Hotel, Bar and Lounge. So, yeah.
Looking at the street itself, I mean, this is a traditional hotel street right in the centre of Blackpool, originally grew up around the railway station back in the day. How did it suddenly become the centre for the gay community?
Well, I think when I first moved to Blackpool, which was 7.5 years ago, I was looking for a new venture. I used to do teaching for a long time before then. And I had a brain tumour, which put me out of work for about 18 months. I had to recuperate and learn to walk, etc., etc. And I wanted a fresh start, so I moved from Manchester to Blackpool and lived on South Shore. And my friend used to go into Trades Hotel, which was the only venue on Low Street at the time. And he got friends with Donna. And then it was sort of grew from there. There was this place called Candy's that was empty for about 18 months. And it was just a derelict hotel, very run down with mould, damp everywhere. Ceiling was on the floor. My friend said, why don't you go and have a look at it? And I walked in, there was no gas, no electric, no water, nothing. So with the light of my phone, I was walking around. And I said, no way. And I said, no, you can do it, you can do it. So I thought, I'll take a gamble. And that's what we did. We started to open it as a hotel. Donna then came on board from Trades and she came to work for me. Mm-hmm. So she's been like the catalyst, pushing me forward and coming up with brilliant ideas and things. And it sort of went from then. So then we opened the hotel. We then said, well, let's open a public bar, because the new Trades had a public bar as well. But we'd then be men only. We wanted somewhere for everybody else. Originally, there was loads of objections to it. Everyone saying, once you open this, you're going to open the floodgates of hell, etc. And even the local councillors wasn't up for it. They were saying, well, no, we don't want that sort of thing on Law Street, it's residential. So we eventually did get the licence because we put a lot of things in place to make sure we didn't break any of the licensing conditions.
Was their main concern then that was because this was a hotel area predominantly, the noise would upset residents?
Yeah, I think that was definitely the main concern, that there was somewhere apparently down the road that did have a public licence before us. And it didn't last and didn't go down very well. It became a party central thing, and they thought it was going to be exactly the same thing, which I totally understand that, because people have to live, you know, down the street in peace and quiet as well. But we promised we wouldn't, and we kept that promise. You know, we made sure that the speakers were put on one side of the wall, the noise was down, we wasn't going to allow stag end parties, that type of thing. So, yeah, it was good.
Looking at the gay nightlife scene, I mean, some of us who go back to the 1980s will remember everything was quite big, wasn't it? You're talking about the Flamingo Club, and there were some small bars as well, but everything was centred around Talbot Road. That was the main area, wasn't it? And then suddenly, like I say, it moves to Lord Street. Have local businesses sort of taken this to their heart then and thought, yeah, we can do that as well?
Yeah, I think when we opened Mardi Gras, a lot of people said, you must be mad. A lot of the other venues were said, oh, it won't work, it's down Lord Street. Nobody goes on Lord Street, apart from, obviously, to the Trades Bar, etc. So, yeah, it was a bit of a gamble. But I think, ironically, what did it for us was COVID. Because when COVID first came out, the only venues that was allowed to open were venues that served food. So there was Peekaboo's, ourselves, and I think that was about it, who was actually serving food at the time. So people had to come to the venue down Lord Street, and then they got used to actually coming down here because everywhere else was closed. So it was sort of like fate in a way.
It's sort of come full circle in its style, though. I mean, these are small bars, small hotels, and that's how it started back in the 1950s, 1960s in Blackpool, and then became massive, and it's come full circle.
I think if you look at the Northern Quarter in Manchester, that's very similar. They're very small venues, like the Bijou venues, with a small sort of room with a, maybe enough room for 30 people. And then once Mardi Gras opened, then you had, I think the next one along there was De Lovely's, and then they got a public bar licence, and then came Rendezvous. And now every hotel, well, quite a lot of the hotels have opened public bars, and there's now about, I think altogether there's about 19 different hotels now with public bars. But they've
just
on
this street.
Yeah, they've all got their own character as well. You've got the nice wine bar feel of Hotel Neon, and then you've got like the restaurant area with De Lovely's, and then you've got high end cabaret with McGrath's, and you've got ourselves Mardi Gras. I'm not going to leave that out. Where we've got a show bar, we've got a chill out room for people who don't want to be in there. So, yeah, all these different venues have opened up. But what interesting has happened, it's made other people up the game as well, because now you've got places like Mamba that have invested and they've opened a bigger club upstairs. So the whole area is sort of transformed. And then the council have got on board.
Would you say that the scene now is more vibrant than it was, say, 10, 20 years ago?
I think from a visitor that used to come to Blackpool, because I lived in Hull a long time ago, and he's come through to Blackpool, and at the time there was Flamingos, which will never be beaten. No matter what happens, it will never be beaten. It was the best club, the best atmosphere. Basil knew what he was doing, and Flamingos will always be the number one venue ever. But there was only Basil's on the Strand, Lucy's, and I think there was 501s, they called it at the time.
Yeah, Pepe's Bar.
So there was only five or six, but now there's like 21 venues. All right, they're not as big as Flamingos. And I think it's gone around Lord Street because people feel safe. And that is the number one thing. Where when Sherlock's opened, which was as big as Flamingos on the end of Queen Street, it didn't work because people just didn't feel safe going down that end, you know, next to other venues.
Looking at the age profile of those now who come out to bars and nightclubs, has that predominantly gone older as the younger set have gone online to meet people?
Yeah, I think you're right there. I would say our age demographic along Lord Street tends to be from about 30 to 60. That is the age group. The younger 18 to 30s tend to go through to Manchester or... I don't know. They don't seem to be in an abundance in Blackpool, put it that way. So I think a lot of them tend to move to the big city like Manchester when they're younger. But yeah, definitely, if you look out, come out on Friday and Saturday night, you'll see the majority of people are between, say, 30 and 60. So yeah, I would definitely say that.
Where do you see the future of the provision for the LGBT community going then?
Without being political, I think if we keep a more liberal approach what the council have started, then I can only see it getting better and better. And I was on looking at something online yesterday where people complaining about the rainbow lights on the street lights. Now, that's been sponsored by E.ON, and the council are fully behind that. And all the street names have been given rainbow tags and the rainbow crossings. Now, to some people who don't like that sort of thing, what they're forgetting is, if I'm a stranger and I come to Blackpool and I get off the train and I see that, that makes me feel safe, it makes me feel inclusive. All these businesses around here are paying business rates, they're paying towards the community, they're bringing thousands of pounds in of revenue for the council and for tax. So it's nice to be recognised for that and have your own area. Manchester's got one, Liverpool's got one, why shouldn't Blackpool have one?
Used to be called the Pink Pound, is that still the thing?
Do you know, I think it probably is. I think, what's another terminology? Twin income, no kids, I think that was the law, wasn't it?
But people with disposable income, basically.
Yeah, definitely. And the only thing I would say is, it's a strange thing, I think this happens in every sort of major LGBTQ scene, it tends to be predominantly men rather than women that come out. And it's a shame because we need more women to come out, not more lesbians, etc., to come on the gay scene and enjoy it too. But it's always the same. You go in Manchester, it's predominantly men, not so much women. So it's a strange thing, really.
Well, there we are, ladies, coming out into town.
We need you.
John, lovely talking to you. Thanks a lot for the update.
Thank you very much.